You know what's funny is we all walked in here, and usually, admittedly, I'm always the late one. I'm always the one that's here right before the clock starts, which is basically just late in radio and rules of engagement overall. And it sucks, but that's who I am, and I try like hell. Excuse me, to actually get here on time, but it never seems to happen
Vince
the way
Lombardi
I want to.
Once said that if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
He's absolutely right. So I'm always late. So it was actually shocking to me when I sat here and I said, well, Mike's got to be in the house somewhere.
We thought.
He's got, maybe that's his car pulling up. And then we get a call, and we didn't really delve into it because Mark talked to him just briefly, but we should Skype him now with over 6 million downloads and still growing. Wow. Mr. Mike O'Mara, not in studio today.
Not in the house. I thought he'd either been eaten by the dogs, or today we're having a rainy, bad traffic day in D.C., so I thought maybe he got hung up with that. As it turns out, I think he was just delayed getting out of his other job at 105.9
Life
The Edge.
Simply got in the way.
It did. I hate when that happens.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Are we on the podcast?
We're
now?
On the air, sir.
We're on the air. Is there a delay, or can you hear us clearly?
You guys sound great. I hear no delay whatsoever. How does my audio sound on that end?
You sound great for a guy on a cell phone. Is everything okay?
Yeah, my apologies, gentlemen. You know, when you have two jobs, as Oscar will tell you, occasionally you get hung up in one of the gigs, and that is what the problem was today. Unfortunately, time was, you know, we've all been in those meetings once in a while where you literally can't get up and walk out.
Right.
And I was I was looking squarely in the eyes of a general manager, a program director, a sales manager, both national and local. Those are meetings you really don't walk out of. Not when you have to sing for your supper in this day and age.
Yeah, that's very absolutely true. Is Shamrock okay?
Yeah.
Shamrock was not in the meeting.
I see.
It was wonderful. But, you know, here's one of those wonderful things. I've dodged the raindrops both coming and going today. And as I sit here driving out of the District of Columbia, it is a beautiful sunny day in our nation's capital. And I don't know if we're going to get more rain or not, but it's just ducky. It's just lovely. And the nice thing about doing the show via my cell phone in the automobile, you guys will be able to hear me when I get into a traffic altercation.
Wonderful.
I can't wait. Well, please drive carefully. Are you telling the truth? Is the sun out where you are?
Where I am right now, Buzz, and my apologies for my throat once again.
Oh.
The sun has just broken through. Roads are a little bit damp, and not bad at all.
Cool. Well, it's still cloudy and rainy here, I think.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop driving.
No, I think you'll bring the sunshine with you, as you always do.
Mike,
Well, you know what? I am realizing between road noise, a depleted voice, and a myriad of other factors, this is just not going to be workable for me. So I'm going to pull over at the earliest convenience. I'm going to take this road. 7
Locks. On a side road, did you?
7 Locks Road. Speed limit 30.
Perfect.
It's a snow emergency route. Man, is it wealthy over here. Oh, my God.
Very nice area.
What's that like?
Wow. Look at these mansions.
Hidden in
I'm
going to
take a right on Old 7 Locks Road.
I know exactly where you are.
It says no outlet. That's because you're Jewish. Of course you know where I am.
Yeah. It's Bethesda, right? Why does it feel like it's a Bethesda?
All right, I'm pulling off in front of a house that says for sale, and I'm just going to stop right here, and I'm going to... How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Sounds great. It really does.
Now even quieter with the engine off. How's that, boy?
Even quiet. And you're saving gas, more importantly.
All right. And I trust this is... the opening part of the show right
now. Now we're in the program. This is the meat of it.
This is the heart of the show. We've actually...
Yes. Oh, you've already done the, you've done the opening vignette.
No vignette.
Well, then let me mention... did we do a vignette and then play the opening thing?
We did not. We went straight from the opening today.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that. This is... I'm calling this the opening vignette. Okay. I want Ronick to put his finger on that button.
Okay.
Are you ready, Mark Ronick?
Give me one sec.
He's just about ready, Mike.
Yes.
We don't want the wheels to fall off the way.
No, certainly. Well, when you're not here a lot of times.
Yeah. You can't do the show's got like a beginning, middle, and end for crazy.
Yes, well, I am ready for you now.
Mark's ready for you now.
You're ready for me now. Well, then let me just say, suck a d-
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You know something, Junior? You don't know how to run your plate. You're 32 years old. You don't know how to run your plate. The omelet is supposed to come out eaten with the bread.
Tony, I don't want all that bread. You made me too much bread. You always make me too much bread.
And you don't even dip your bread. I made the omelet nice and soft in the middle so you could dip your bread.
Get out of my eggs.
A little bit of hot pepper on it.
You stop putting hot pepper on my eggs?
You don't even butter your bread. Look, no jelly? Here. This nice jelly Antoinette made. Apricot and pineapple. Oh, nice. Here.
I told you I don't want that much bread. Don't you understand? I've been telling you that for 100 years. You love bread. I don't love bread. I like bread. Don't you understand I gotta watch my weight? Didn't you learn anything from Salvatore? 39 the man was. 39 years old and he's dead, 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 Dom. And that killed him.
Coming to you live from Mike O'Mara's living room studio in the historic radio district of Manassas, Virginia, a bustling suburb of the nation's capital, it's the Mike O'Mara Show, featuring Buzz Burbank with Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Heard in 148 countries. It is the Mike O'Mara Show, and it is Tuesday, April 12, 2011, and we are over 6 million downloads and growing every single day. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. My sincere apologies for being via telefono. Boy, we are a depleted crew this week, are we not?
Yes.
Well, especially without you here.
Nice and thin.
You know. I really, you know, sometimes I don't like the jobs to overlap. I think I've done a pretty good job since last July.
You have.
In not letting that happen. But this was one of those days where I'll give you guys the code word, okay? The code is sing for the supper.
I see. And did you sing
well?
You know
what I mean? That's where you really, you know, basically I was dancing for clients. That's exactly what it is. Uh-huh. That's what you have to do. In this day and age, that's how it works.
You couldn't tell.
On today's program, we're going to talk about, now on the Facebook page, I think I talked about sensitivity training.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
But that was code because I didn't want somebody to hear what I was going to talk about.
Mm. Code for what?
And what I'm going to talk about is Mark's issues.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
My issues.
Mark's issues.
You just have an issue, Mark. You're very, very concerned about your performance, and you went fishing last night on Facebook.
I see.
I thought it was sweet. I thought it was very, very, very nice. Very interesting. Also, Carla is a dog referee.
Right.
My love affair with that little chocolate lab that I have in my house is waning just a wee bit,
and
I am not all that thrilled with it. The car hunt continues.
Uh-huh.
The best air conditioner in the world. Now, boys,
yes?
You're sitting in there. It's a humid day.
Mm-hmm.
How does the house feel today?
Perfect.
Nice and cool.
And you know, Mike, they are our sponsor today of today's show.
Oh, that is so, God, I wish I was there. Mark, share that with us because I'll tell you something, man. I'm ready to be honest about a client, and I love to do that because these people have done the most amazing job. Go ahead and lay it on us, Mark.
No, I have it in front of me, Mike. We're brought to you today by CB Lucas.
Go ahead, Buzz. Go ahead.
AC and air conditioning. CB Lucas did make this living room studio cozy and comfortable year-round. Mention this ad. Get your AC tuned up for summer for just $69. And if you need a new high-efficiency system, call them for a free in-home estimate. Get 36 months, same as cash financing, or rebates up to $1,200 on new Trane systems. For the best care, call 1-800-AIR-REPAIR for CB Lucas AC and air conditioning and heating, or click their ad on our website.
It's 1-800-AIR-REPAIR.
That's correct.
Let me tell you, these guys, Mike and the good people at CB Lucas, have really tweaked up my system in a very old Victorian. And last night I was up in my office doing some show prep, and I have never, ever experienced air conditioning in this house that we all broadcast from like I did last night. I'm really thrilled to have these guys as a sponsor. And CB Lucas, you know, this is the time of year that we all start thinking about whether or not we want to have an air conditioning system. And I will tell you, these guys are the bomb, and I recommend them highly. Really did a great job for us. And we even have our own now special little unit right in the air studio that keeps the temperature cool. And, you know, any guy that spends about 3.5 hours initially going over your whole system, you know, taking a look at it with a fine-tooth comb, you know you're going to be in good hands, and that's what Mike and the good people at CB Lucas did. And I just wanted to say that from the heart, because you know I believe it, and it's true, and thanks to those guys.
Hey, they love their work.
Hey, Mike, you said you were upstairs last night doing show prep. Was that for this show or for The Edge?
That's funny. That's funny, Mark. You're a funny guy. You're a funny, sensitive little guy.
I am very sensitive.
Hey, did I do okay? I think it went. No. Is what Mark puts on Facebook last night.
What did he write? Right? I didn't see.
What happened?
Facebook, and I see. Mark, wait, did you see it, Oscar?
No, I didn't see it. That's why I'm excited to hear about it.
All right, what he does is he puts up there something along the lines of a, and you can bring it up if you want.
I'm pulling
Mark,
it
I mean,
up.
I don't have my computer there.
I'm pulling
but
it
up. But it's something along the lines of, what did he say? I thought the first show was quite successful. You know, it's this obvious fishing expedition.
What did you think?
That Mark goes on.
Now, why?
What did you say?
Why do you think that? I mean, this is the thing. Clearly, he's new to this, so maybe he's just excited, or was it sensitive, or was he fishing for a compliment? You're saying?
I think he's oversensitive, and I think really one of the first rules that we grown-up broadcasters know is that, you know, you don't want to show weakness. You don't want to go say, hey, was I okay?
You do that
after every broadcast.
You do that. You do that so well for me, showing the weaknesses.
Okay, I can.
I
can read you what he's got. This is just a. I'll read a couple of them here. Yeah. So on Sunday, he writes, got some very big shoes or sandals to fill this week while Rob Spiewak is on holiday. Looking forward to the challenge and preparing to be abused. I suppose that's how Rob prepares every day. And the one you're talking about is this. Woo! A successful first day filling in for Rob. 22 comments.
A successful, by whose measure?
Well, my measure, somebody actually asked me that on the thread, and my measure was that it's successful because I left the studio unscathed.
Yes. Yes, you did. Well, you always do. And everybody does.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
It's not like, you know, no one's going to get stabbed in the eye with a knitting needle during those shows. It's not going to work that well. And I told you, I thought you did a fine job yesterday. Now, for the opening today, it's very interesting to me. I would have thought, this is just my own opinion.
Right.
I would have thought that perhaps you bring along an original clip of Ronick audio. That's just my opinion. You know, I mean, you're in there doing it this week. I'm just kind of curious as to, you know, why we would go with the Fatso Rob Spiewak cut when, you know, you could easily have, you know, with your resources, especially your internet savvy, you could probably go grab a, you know, a piece of original, maybe younger and hipper audio. That's what I'd be looking
at. You're right. And, you know, Oscar handed me, Rob handed me a disc on Friday with all the opens and said, yeah, play these. And so I think he really wanted to make sure he had his stamp on these shows without him here.
Now, let me tell you something, Mark, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but all things being, because I know there's one thing you are, and you are a gregarious, hardworking, ambitious individual.
Okay.
And if I was to say to you, like at that moment, if I was to say, this is before you got handed the thing by Rob, if we were having a discussion about it, and the subject came up, Mark, would you rather do them on your own, or would you rather use the clips that Rob has would provide for you? What would your answer be? And I'm just curious. I'm really curious for the honest answer to that question.
I probably would do them on my own.
Oh. Well, then I will say to you for the rest of the week.
Feel free.
If you have the time, I would. Oscar, I am not busting his balls, I swear to God. This is just something I figured it would be fun to hear, like, a new clip or two, because I think, you know, young enough, hip it up a little bit. You know, take advantage of the little change in scenery for a week. You know, that's just my opinion.
I don't think that Rob has left yet, so I will make sure he sends me all the production elements, and I will take care of that for tomorrow.
but you don't really have to. If it's already been done and you think it would be too much, I know you work a lot for the show anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put, you know, burden you with that. It was just kind of a random thought.
No,
that's all it was, and I swear to God, I know it sounds like I'm working you, but I'm not.
No, not at all. I enjoyed the challenge, and I'm excited to do it.
Can't you tell?
Oscar, is he telling the truth?
I think that he's just like a mini Buzz. There's a lot of passive aggressiveness in that.
I've taught him well.
in that statement, where I guess the answer you're looking for is like, this is awesome. Thank you. I just didn't want to mess with the integrity of the show. But instead, we get, yes, I will get the elements from Rob, and then I'll put what I can on it.
I can't see facial expressions, so I'm going to have to go with us. I just had to fire my car up. It got to be 90 degrees in this car really quickly. Yeah. Here.
A little steamy in there?
It's just a little hot right now. Doesn't sound too loud in the background, does it?
No, you're good to go.
Actually, pretty good.
All right, good stuff. All right, so anyway, Mark gets on Facebook and says it was a successful show.
Yeah.
Kind of a fishing expedition for complimentos, and I thought that was just kind of funny. And really, one of the things, the rules is, you know, when you get done with it, if you go asking, and I guess I learned this a long time ago, if you go asking, you know, how was I, how did we do, or even worse, you know, what ideas do you folks have that would improve the show, that type of thing. You're on a, Mr. Spicoli, you're on a very, very slippery slope.
You're showing your weakness.
Okay. That is noted. I will no longer fish for compliments.
You know what another horrible thing is?
What's that?
To be so unprofessional that you're actually doing a show on a cell phone from your car.
Here you are phoning it in.
Literally.
I am phoning it in. Man, there is a house.
No.
Hold on. I'm going to drive up a little bit because this looks like, you know, what's that movie? What's that movie, Rob? Like Citizen Kane?
Right. That's one of them, yes.
Thank you, Buzz. That's one of them.
Do you?
What a disappointment. All I saw was the gate. Okay, you know what? This is a guy that has a gate that should be in front of William Randolph Hearst Castle.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at his house, and his house, he's got a Brady Bunch house.
Yeah.
That is just not appropriate.
Well, he wants to protect his property.
Rob likes Brady Bunch, too.
Rob, like,
oh,
F. Rob. Why are we talking about Rob?
Okay, so
you brought him up.
So we've settled on Ronick, and you gave him some good medicine and some good points and direction, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What about Carla makes her the dog referee?
All right, here it is, Oscar. This is something that has been going on for the past three nights. And you know that I fell in love with that dog. In fact, you predicted that dog might not even be going home.
Yes.
I love that little chocolate lab mix that is the dog of my wife's grandfather, who had triple bypass surgery over the weekend.
Lucy.
And I'm happy to report, is doing very, very well. But I do love this dog. This is a sweet dog, Lucy. It's a female in a house with male dogs.
Right.
And it's terrific. However, at night, right before bedtime, which at my toddler's schedule is at about 8 o'clock at night, on the bed, it is turned into a frigging cage match between the Chihuahua and the chocolate lab to the point where I just can't stand it. It upsets me.
Mm-hmm.
It freaks Carla out. We get into a situation where, you know, we don't know when a flailing paw is going to detach one of our corneas. And it's just every night now, it's like, Lucy, lie down. Frankie, stop it. Lucy, lie down. Frankie, stop it. And the puppy, the three-month-old lab hound, whatever jumped over the fence mix, is flailing its paws around, and I have been caught in the balls on three separate occasions, and I'm just getting a little burned out.
That bitch.
And I hate to say this, it means I'm getting a little burned out on the chocolate lab.
Wow. I knew this day would come here at the O'Mara Kennel.
Yeah, but it's only the bed. She doesn't have to sleep with you in your bed. Why can't you just close the door?
Well, you know, it's a Carla thing. Carla likes the dogs to be on the bed, and we don't want to leave Lucy down.
She has him there every night.
And, And it's just, you know, you've got a dog that's away from its owner, and you want the dog to be happy and stuff like that. But I will tell you something, it just gets a little crispy, and my initial exuberance over having this new pet is waning just a little bit, because I realize that, you know, I go from really loving this dog to saying things like, "Nah, you're all descendants of hyenas, and you're all scavengers, and you all suck." And I just, you know, it's very frustrating for me. And I don't know. I'm very conflicted.
It's 1 week down and just 5 weeks to go, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to be the full 5 weeks. Mm. I mean, I think that was the initial prognosis, you know, depending on the recovery time, you know, and really, I mean, if it can buzz, here's the way I look at it. I'm very fond of Carlo's grandfather, Ernie.
Yes.
I think that he's a wonderful man and hardworking man, but it's also, I think, you know, even with a triple bypass, mm-hmm. I think he's in tremendous shape.
Right.
I think he'll be a speedy recovery, and really, you know, if a little extra work for him and his depleted condition add a little convenience to my life.
Mike, here's your angle.
I say full speed ahead.
Here's your angle. Having his beloved dog back will be good therapy for him and help him heal faster. That's your angle.
Amen. It'll be a boon to his recovery. Hey, yeah, go ahead.
I still just don't understand why you can't, and we have time, by the way. I'm checking out the clock. We've got about another 5 minutes here.
I appreciate it.
What is your thought process where three dogs in one person's bed will drive anyone crazy, mm-hmm. not just you with your short fuse and you get a little ornery and your toddler schedule? So what about just getting a little day bed and telling Lucy she can't come up on the bed?
Well, yeah. I mean, as I said, I'm conflicted. I know I'm sending mixed messages. I know that I don't know what I know. I mean, it's crazy. I think I'm behaving very oddly when it comes to this dog, because this dog, unlike Frankie or Beluga, and I guess this is a female thing with dogs, they gravitate to men in the house, and I love a dog being all about me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my feeling would be, how about a swift little boot to the two midgets and let them sleep on the floor? But, you know, that won't happen. That won't happen with Carla.
You've never.
They'll stay up on the bed.
You've never, and be honest, Mike, you've never just slightly nudged your foot to see if that dog will roll off and that what'll happen?
Oh, I've done that to Beluga.
Okay, no. Thank God.
Okay. Yeah, when Carly goes to the bathroom, I've done it a couple of times where he was doing this, the deal that he does anytime she's out of the room and it's just me on the bed, where he plaintively stares, not at the door, he'll stare at whatever direction she went in.
Uh-huh.
And he will sit there and say, "Oh, you want to be with me?" And I kind of nudge him, and he's off the bed. I've never heard him.
Never. Thud.
I've never heard him.
Not that we can tell.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's not my style. I don't hurt animals.
That's right.
I swear to God, I really don't. I love all those animals. I do. But at the same time, it's a little bit. Here's a question for all you guys.
Yes.
Do you think that by any chance this vocal strain / allergy / humidity situation that I'm in right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has anything to do with having this dog on the bed?
It's possible.
It is absolutely possible. Yeah.
But, you know, with the weather, and I know my wife and my daughter, they are suffering hardcore from allergies right now, and there's no new dog in our house, so it could be a combination.
There is tree pollen out, but I definitely think it's the dog.
I would say...
You know, it also is hard. Go ahead.
No, I would say whatever whatever she brought from the backwoods is probably what you have.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd worry more about the ticks.
What did you say? Did you say backwards, you asshole? You are such a troublemaker. Even from a long distance, I wish I could slap you up back of the head right now. I swear to God. Stop it. Stop it right now. We have a common, Oscar and I have a common theme, and we're not going to discuss it right now.
That's right, yes. Understood.
You're gonna get kicked in the groin tomorrow. I promise you that. I swear to God you are.
I'm so
before
sorry.
We go to break, I want to tell you about one other thing here.
Hmm?
Wait, where did I get it? Okay. When I'll ask you this, Oscar.
Yes.
When does Sons of Anarchy come back on?
I'd be lying if I even shot a guess, because I don't know what's weird is that we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago. It feels like these shows go away forever. and they come back like a year later. So I would say if there's a new season coming out, it would be fall if we don't know any better. But I can look it up during the break, that's for sure.
I've been talking about this for about a month's time, that there is such a black hole in, like, series television right now, whether it be on regular network or whether it be on cable. There is a show that I was hip to by Jack Diamond's sidekick, Jimmy, the guy that does the show with Diamond in the Morning on Mix 107. He told me to check out The Borgias on, I think it's either HBO or Showtime.
Right.
And it's about the Vatican and Rome.
Sex in the Vatican, yes.
I'm all in. It is so much fun. I mean, I've watched one episode, and the episode is Jeremy Irons, who plays the Pope, takes confession from this hottie who comes in and talks about how lonely she is, and then the Pope sets her up with a mansion outside the Vatican wall, but it's got a secret passageway between the Pope's house and this lady's house. And Jeremy Irons, like every night, goes down this secret passageway and bangs this.
Nice.
It couldn't be more fun.
Wow.
I'm loving every minute of it.
HBO's announced the premiere dates for some of our favorites. Curb Your Enthusiasm comes back July 10th. True Blood returns June 26th. And the final season of Entourage, which I know you don't care about so much, starts July 24th. So there are a few from HBO anyway. But yeah.
Still, we're talking summer. Right. We're talking 3 months away.
Right, in most cases, yeah.
Sons of Anarchy, by the way.
Go ahead, guys.
Sorry, Sons of Anarchy, by the way, an amazing show. That's why the seasons get better and better. And I know that you got actually a chance to meet some of the cast members, and we've talked about it before. But you're right. You go back to those channels, and you're looking for – you go to FX, and you're looking for the shows because you're hoping that they're back, and they're just gone. It's like the black hole of television right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very, very depressing, and we all like our little stories.
We do.
I may, later on in the summer, I don't know if this is going to come true or not, I may have the opportunity to actually ride with a couple of the cast members. The guy that plays, Opie,
right.
And the guy that plays the real, the real evil guy with the black hair that's always doing things wrong. He's always the super horny one.
Yes.
I don't know what his name is on the show, but
Buzz Burbank.
Apparently those two guys. Buzz Burbank. That's exactly what it is. I may be riding with those two guys, so we'll have more on that later. In any event, we are going to take a break. It is that time. How is this audio sounding so far? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, yeah.
Certainly.
All right, I feel like I just did what I told Mark Ronick not to do. I shouldn't have asked if it sounded okay, because now people on Facebook are going to send messages.
Mike,
I don't need that. And for those that are going to send messages, I'm going to say lick it.
Mike,
lick it out, every one of you.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
I really, really look forward to the opening tomorrow.
Okay, you got it.
It's going to be all about you.
Oh, good.
We will take a break, and we will come back with Mark Ronick's Audio Vault, and it'll be interesting to see how
No.
We'll be back with segment two.
Yeah, segment two.
Oh, I'm not coming back for segment two. I'm just kidding. I am just kidding. That's right. It's segment two coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to MikeO'MaraShow.com. Here is Buzz Burbank to tell us who is bringing us the second segment of our program today.
The Big Duff 2, our annual golf tournament, is May 21st at Cameron Hills in King George, Virginia, but you got to sign up now. It's a day of golf and hijinks, followed by our end of the world after party at a secret location. Several packages are available, from the Spectator package all the way up to the Platinum package, which includes hotel and limo bus service to the after party. Click events at MikeO'MaraShow.com for details, or call Jason at 703-628-1343. Mike.
Now, let me get out there and say this to everybody, because now this is me having one of my moments, and I know I've had a couple of them with the allergy season and all that, and I'm very sorry that I have, but in one of my little overzealous moments, I made the comment about the fact if we didn't get a certain number of people signing up, we weren't going to have. The Big Duff is on.
It's on.
It is a lock. We are definitely doing it. We already have plenty of participation. We just can always do better, but we want to make sure that everybody knows that the Big Duff is definitely on. We are going for it. It's going to be a fabulous day, so all you nervous Nellies out there that are worried that we're not going to do it, we are definitely doing it, and thanks to all the folks that have signed up early for that. We're very excited to have a fabulous day down in the Virginia countryside. Should be a great day for all.
Mike, we have people coming from various states, including one guy. I don't know if you heard about this or not. We have one guy coming all the way from Alaska.
I read that, and, man, I can't wait to meet that guy. We'll have to divine a very special bowling trophy for that particular individual.
Yeah, I hope he gets a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy, Buzz.
I know. That's what I like about it.
That's the nice thing about the Big Duff. Everybody gets a fabulous trophy. A good time should be had by all. And, Mark, how are we doing? Everything going smoothly with the Big Duff?
Yes, everything is going smoothly. Jason contacted me over the weekend and said everything. People are responding, and we're getting a good turnout.
Good.
That's good. Looking forward to it, and just looking forward to getting outside and really getting spring underway here in Washington, D.C. It's been another one of those weird little spring times that we have where, you know, we get one day where it's 40 degrees, then we get an 80-degree day, then thunderstorms come through. It doesn't know what it wants to do. Everybody's sounding like me with their voices, and it gets very frustrating around here. And it also, I think, this is the end of cabin fever time.
Oh, yeah.
And I notice on the roads, in the stores, everywhere you go, you know, people have relationship problems like Oscar and Kara. Mm-hmm. Everything seems to be... I'm kidding, of course. I just threw that in.
No, it's true. I went to therapy this morning.
Well, I wanted to check in with you with that. Everybody gets a little squirrely this time of year, and I'm just ready. I'm ready for just a little consistent weather. Just give me, you know, give me 60 degrees for 4 days in a row. I'll be perfectly happy.
That'd be great. But it does feel like spring at least, and I'm coming out of my cabin fever, my winter depression. I can tell it's spring, and I'm pretty jacked up about it.
Did you get insurance yet?
Not still waiting to hear, Mike. Still waiting to hear.
Oh, coming now, Buzz.
Yes.
Now listen, Oscar and I will tell you this. This is the time to be a meanie. You've got to be meaner, Buzz. You have to be less passive aggressive and be more forceful with these people.
Well, I do.
I can pretend I'm your lawyer again.
I do have a friend on Facebook. I believe his name is Jason, who's offered to kick some insurance people in the nuts for me. So I'm excited about that.
Speaking of the internet, I will mention to Mr. Santana that I did have a chance to very, very coyly and very sneakily take a look at Match.com last night.
No!
Oh, you devil, you.
That's ballsy, you know, with Carla in the house.
If my wife walked into the office and saw me on that, I would turn around and I would say, honey, this is a website that is sponsoring the show. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take a peek because we had a discussion about it on the show, and I wanted to look, why was I so unbelievably guilty last night when I was doing this?
Because
you know she wouldn't buy that argument.
Yeah, and if you walked in and she was on Match.com, there probably wouldn't be a computer left to check Match.com.
Here it is, though. You know what you have to do. In order to really get any kind of interaction, you have to register.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Put your information up as far as everything else. I wasn't going to do that.
Right. So how far did you get? What did you get to see?
I got to see one delightful Latina.
Nice.
What did you put for age range? Be honest.
25 to 45.
Good man. Good man.
I approached it as though I was really out there. And that would be my criteria.
Now we know.
25 to 45 and Arab women only.
Well chosen.
No, I actually put in, I didn't. It doesn't specify that. It only specifies age, right? I think that's the only thing.
Yeah, you can do age and body type. Mm-hmm. I think you can do that.
And
maybe age.
This particular woman was into yoga and drinks a little. I always like that because that means they drink a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, it was fascinating. But in this day and age, I mean, anybody that's out there and single, you can always find your hookup. You can find your special person out there. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great website. I will say, though, it is... I have two schools of thought as far as Match.com. If you are tired of really going out there and hope, and you're tired of being set up by your friends,
tired of the games
and your family, go out there and check it out. And not necessarily the games. It's just it's another game. You either do two things on Match.com, from my experience through my friends, is either you're going to have a lot of sex and meet a lot of people, go out on a lot of dinners, spend a lot of money, but you will. Because women are kind of different these days for the most part. You will do what you'd like from a man's perspective. And the second is you really may try, you may actually find...
No, hold. Yes. Breaks. Women will do what a man likes. I mean, are you saying to me that nowadays,
yes,
if you go on one of these websites and yes, you pop for, say, dinner at Fleming,
yes,
that you're almost, it's almost a stone cold lock that you're going to get lady waity?
Dinner at Fleming's and 12 Jack and Cokes, yes.
Man, it's a different world than when we were out there, bud.
It is much different. Much better, really.
Yeah, in a way. But, I mean, what is so the end game is you go on one of these sites, you get together with somebody, something might happen, something might not, but usually if there's a mutual, you have to see each other's pictures and read the bios.
Right.
So there's a very good chance you're going to match up with this person. But the sex, I'm just blown away that actually happens. It used to be such a process, an ordeal.
Well, think about it this way. And again, I paint with a broad brush. It's just what I know. And I have a lot of scumbag friends, so you can loot me into that. That's fine. What I would say is that when you guys were dating, when you're growing up, you'd meet someone, you'd see them, you get to know them. You almost feel in a virtual way, because you've either Googled them or Facebooked them or seen them on Match.com, that you know a lot about them right away. And that hurdle of like, am I attracted to this person? Am I not attracted? You are usually attracted with the person that you're going to go on a date with. So you already have these predisposed inclinations to actually go out there and say, okay, I know I like this person. We may have a great time if we hit it off. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of a society now of like immediate gratification. So if you connect on like a intellectual level, even for one date, or a mental level, if you connect on that level and you get a little hammered, you're like, oh, F it. Let me see if there's some real chemistry here.
Mike, Oscar is so right. Yeah. I came across a story recently that said that women are more likely to have sex on a first date because they do feel they've already gotten to know you online.
But how much is the alcohol factor relevant? It's the second reference you've made. You said 12.
Well, we've all blacked out, made some bad decisions, and woke up in someone's crotch we shouldn't have been.
Oh.
Define shouldn't have.
So the alcohol you have to ply them with a little booze also.
It's social lubricant. It's the same deal when you were growing up. You went out and had some beer, something might happen. Now the propensity of something happening is so much greater because the girl in this equation thinks she knows you and trusts you more.
Do you know, either you or Mark, do you guys have any examples of couples that you guys know that literally started their relationship in an online forum?
Yes. Two, getting married. One's gotten married already.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and Lowell Melser got married to the woman he met on Match.com.
One out of four relationships today starts out online.
Oh, my God.
25%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
And as far as, and those are relationships. When you're talking about actual, men on top get over with quick, that's happening what would that be, like 70, 80%?
Yeah, 80, 90 maybe, I don't know.
I love it when you're on Match.com and the girl writes, trying this online thing. And I'm like, please. That was awesome 10 years ago. Everybody's online. You're on Facebook, you're online. You're just not saying I want to bang.
Well, that's good, because that leads me to my next question that I was going to ask you. So the very fact that you do this, that you go out and you look for somebody online, there is zero stigma attached to that. I know I might sound like an old fart here, but there is zero stigma attached to that.
I would say there is a small subsect that there is, especially with your generation and kind of my generation still, that would say, geez, that's not the natural way to do things. But just like if you put a house for sale, You can't just have a realtor, you know, really deal with their social circle and the people they know that may be buying a house. You put it online because you want as many people as possible to see,
right,
I have a house for sale. You may be interested in it. So you get the best offer out there.
I love the way you explain it. I love the house for
sale.
It's
like buying
analogy,
a house.
Because that's exactly true.
Yeah. You want,
I heard something.
I'm sorry. I just said you want it, and this is... And it's weird to say that when I was younger and someone would be on Match.com, I would think desperate. What are they doing? Like, what's the situation here? They're a good person. Why can't they find somebody they want? And it's the actual opposite. They're being smarter because they say plenty of fish in the sea. That's like another website. But there are plenty of fish in the sea. And you can actually be out there and say, either I can choose from the social circle I have now and the extension of that, and that's all I have, or I can go online and I might find a person that's 10 times more qualified to be my mate and vice versa than I ever would, because my social circle may not offer that type of woman or man for me.
Now, let me ask you another question about this, because I am fascinated by it. When you've got somebody that, say, for example, opposites attract, I mean, you look at some of our relationship and some of our friends' relationships that are out there, and you have people that you would never in a million years put together, yet they're very happy, they're very in love, and they go on to have fabulous lives together. The very nature of online dating would seem to me to almost prohibit that type of a relationship from germinating.
Very true. Those relationships, if they do exist, I don't know about them, because everybody that I know that has met on Match and dated extensively or even gotten married, mm-hmm, they're dating themselves. And you're all in. And they're successful,
right,
relationships, because who needs that friction of opposite attract? I am currently getting through a relationship like that, and I might continue it, but it's damn hard and it's tough and it's a lot of work that if I would have known and I would have, If I could have taken a lot back, I would have thought twice about getting this relationship. Not necessarily because she stepped outside of the relationship. It's because it just hasn't been an easy road to hoe.
But there are successful.
I do want to say this to you. I want to say this to you, Oscar. That I offer no judgment about your current situation. Mm-hmm. There's no way that I'm going to do that. I'm not going to judge you. That's just not what I'm all about.
Good for you, man.
But I will tell you, in the event that things don't go swimmingly, I really do look forward to putting a spotlight on you and watching the process.
Yes.
Really watching the all process. Right.
I'm surprised women are not already knocking at his door.
Well, we don't know that.
I would love, Oscar.
Yes.
If things, now, I'm not, you know that I'm not rooting for your relationship to fail. I'm
No.
I like Kara. She's a sweetheart. She's been very good to our show, and she's a very good lady. And I know that, that you feel very strongly about her. However, let's say you kick her out the door. Let's say that happens.
Yes.
Do you think there's a chance that maybe I could go on Match.com and pick a woman for you?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So
if that
Jared
happens.
Mike's excited. Mike is excited.
But
I tell you, that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be. And trust me, as a guy looking, just because, again, the roller coaster of life will lead you to just say, oh, what am I doing? This is so dumb. As a guy looking, I see the value in a website like that. And I never really looked before. I was on in 2005. I went on JDate for like 2 seconds just as a lark to do it, to see what kind of women are out there. But yes, if you are in 2011 and you are not online and you are single and you are serious about seeing if you could have some sort of relationship with somebody, mm-hmm, or if you just want to date, that is the best place to be, because, as I said, if you are trying to sell your home, you're not going to go with the old school method of like, hey, Johnny's a great realtor. He's got a great network. Let's see what he can do. You're going to put it online. You're going to put it on Craigslist. You're going to put it on the Washington Post. You're going to get a realtor, and hopefully they'll have a great website. You're going to find as many avenues as possible to sell your house, aka sell yourself into somebody's life.
And then buy them drinks.
And continuing with the home analogy, that would speak to my next question, would be, in the event that you are planning on, I don't want to use the word lying, but let's just use the word playing a little fast and loose with the facts.
Exactly.
Yes.
Can you be successful if you happen to say, washboard abs, when in fact you've got a little paunch there?
It happens. It happens, but I mean, it all depends if the girl or the guy can go look over that.
Get
if I show up and a girl's got a gunt, she's out.
Oh.
But I mean, and I noticed that women are very careful with their photographic evidence that they put online.
Yeah, look, the tall tale signs are the pictures from above. The pictures from above, we all know they're meant to hide a double chin. So if you've got too much of that going on, you should really think twice about either messaging this young lady or talking to her, or ask her for her Facebook page. And if all those pictures are pictures from above, then you've got a situation brewing.
I'm going to have my pictures taken from a guy leaning out of the window at the Washington Monument.
from space.
Well, you don't need to put a profile up, Mike, because you're a happily married man.
I know, but you know, like all guys, you're always curious about other people, and I am very, very happily married, and I, you know, it just fascinates me because it is so foreign to what I grew up with.
Right,
it's such a new, brave new world out there.
It is.
And I'm just astonished by it.
It's the world's largest bar. It's the world's largest meat market, but you are hiding it. Through technology and aka substance.
Oscar, did you say there's a website called something fish in the sea?
Yeah, there's a thing. It's called Plenty of Fish. It's a, you know, they're not affiliated with this program, so we asked you to go through match.com. But there are multiple sites like this. There's a site if you're just into Jewish chicks or Jewish guys. It's called J-Date. You can get on that one. I don't know if Mark ever has been on that.
I have friends that have done it.
They're, and they really, really narrow things down. But again, a site like Match, and it's not a sell. It'll really give you the biggest, and it's the most popular out there. There's eHarmony, if we must be fair. But really, at the end of the day, you got to go out on dates with these people. And if you find them attractive enough and they find you attractive enough to go on a first initial date, you'll see what your compatibility is. And you might kick it off. You might not. You might go on 10. My friend who got married went on 20 match.com dates. And I thought he was just like, you know, planting his seed wherever he wanted to. But he really needed to find the right girl for him. And now he has. And now they're engaged.
I want to start a site called Fish in a Barrel. I think we'd probably get a lot of hits on that, I think.
Yeah, a bunch of pictures of like people from institutions. that'd be nasty. Hey, I know we have to break for the audio vault, but I wanted to ask you this before, and this is for both Oscar and Mark on this one. Have you ever been made aware of any true disaster stories that involve online dating?
Just the usual on my end, where you date a girl, and especially if you're in the same city, and you take her to certain restaurants, or it's a neighborhood, or you know, if when you go out with Carly, you know what restaurants you can go to. When I go out with Kara, I know what restaurants I'm going to go to. If I all of a sudden ended my relationship with Kara, I know what I'm comfortable with going out to. So you end up, unfortunately, when you start dating online and you're looking for a certain radius around your household, 5 to 10 miles, 20 miles, whatever it may be. You end up going on the same dates to the same places because that's your comfort zone. And if that girl also lives in your neighborhood or that area, then the propensity to see them is, you know, goes up dramatically. So you will walk into another match.com date situation if you are not careful. And that's like with anybody. If you date within your neighborhood, you will probably see that other person eventually. Like when you were in college and you dated multiple people, you will probably see the other person on campus or at the local bars. As you would in any college campus when you date on campus, but if the city,
it'll still never take away the creepy factor with that, though.
Yes, that's just
the creepy factor that you always have. I have some ideas for websites, Mark. You might want to make some phone calls this afternoon. We can see if we can trademark these. How about Husky Time?
Oh, nice.
Husky Time, and like you use my picture up in the upper right hand corner with a big thumbs up. And then maybe get a really nice fat girl. Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow, when she played that phony fat girl.
Yes.
She could be in the upper left-hand corner.
Nice.
We call it Husky Time, where I bet there are websites where fat people get together.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Oh, there are guys who are into fat chicks. Absolutely.
How about Clan Connection?
That is just wrong. All right, Rob Spiewak.
Clan Connection. All right, on that note,
connection with
I
a K.
am, gentlemen, I am losing my voice. I'm going to try to hang in there. We will take a break, and then when we come back, it's Mark Ronick and the fabulous Audio Vault, Ronick Style, right after this.
I know you've got somewhere to go, but won't you make yourself at home and stay with me? And don't you ever leave.
You know, speaking of dating, I remember at one point in my life, I was dating a lady named Sally, and she liked to do certain activities only standing up. And it got boring after a while, and I used to tell her, lay down.
Lay down, Sally.
Lay down, Sally. That was terrible, and that's because I'm in my freaking car.
Phoning it in.
Help me, Rhonda. Rob, anyway, who is the Audio Vault sponsored by?
Today, by Dr. Bruce Friedman. Right now, Dr. Friedman's offering breast augmentation for just $49.90. That's a savings of over $1,000. Cup sizes on for dollars off. What is not to like? Have someone you know call Dr. Friedman's office today. You'll find his number by clicking his ad on our website.
Now the Audio Vault. The Audio Vault means two things to me right now. It means that. My heavy lifting part of the program has come to a close,
right.
And B, that I'm also going to begin to drive. So I hope it's entertaining because I'm driving and listening at the same time.
Dazzle him, Mark. Dazzle him.
Well, I can't do it until Oscar opens the vault for me.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, Oscar's got to lean over and open the vault.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is.
Hear that sound? There she is.
Okay, Mike, this one is for you. This is a new Father of the Year with his... A little boy who's probably no more than 2 or 3 years old talking about the Red Sox versus the Yankees. So take a listen at what a great dad this guy is.
The Red Sox.
I don't like the Red Sox.
No, no, no. Oh, who do you like?
The Yankees.
I don't like the Yankees.
Please.
No. No, you can cry all you want. I don't like the Yankees. Mommy doesn't love the Yankees. Nicholas doesn't and Christopher doesn't. We love the Red Sox.
But I love the Yankees.
You're on your own.
You're
on your own, pal.
I want to love the Yankees. I love the Yankees.
Don't make him cry.
I'm not making him cry. He's making himself cry.
I'm ready.
Repeat after me. I love the Red Sox.
No, Andy, I don't like
it. Red
Sox.
Okay, then you're going to have to find a new place to live.
What a good dad, don't you think?
You are on your own.
Now, Mike.
That is a father with a good judgment. Now, Mark, what I was going to say to you was we can play the game called Mike's kind response and then Mike's real response.
Okay.
Which one would you like first?
Uh-oh. I will take your kind response.
Mark, that was very funny. I really think that's funny the way certain dads get so serious about baseball with their kids.
Mm. And what is your not-so-kind response?
I really enjoyed it when I heard it 4 weeks ago.
Oh,
ouch.
Well.
Oh, burn.
Well, it seemed that the other people in the room enjoyed it, and those people made it here on time, Mike.
Ooh.
Oh!
I've got do you like George Takei?
Yes, I like George Takei.
Did you know that he's going to be starring in a Broadway musical in 2012? But he
does he like Spider-Man?
Oh man. Yeah, he does actually. Do you want to hear him auditioning for Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think he sings the Spider-Man song, doesn't he?
If I wasn't the one editing, I would say F you right now.
What? I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard it either. Yeah. Only heard about it.
Lay it on the other guy.
All right, here you go, guys. The true audience in here. Hold on, here it is.
Hi, I'm George Takei, and this is my audition reel for the new Broadway blockbuster, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. Now, you might be wondering, why is George Takei auditioning for a Broadway musical? It just so happens that I am in a new Broadway-bound musical titled Allegiance with the incomparable Leia Salonga, coming in 2012. But I want to be in a Broadway musical now. So I thought to myself, what show is in desperate need of actors with great moves and great musculature?
I feel creepy.
Spider-Man, of course. Now, you're probably thinking, isn't George Takei a bit mature for the role? Well, as you can see, I've got the whole package. Watch and learn, Peter Parker. Spider-Man, Spider-Man. George Takei should be Spider-Man.
That George Takei, he's a real talent there.
No self-respect.
George Takei, I only have one memory of George Takei. Uh-huh. He was on our old show years and years ago, and George Takei wins the award, and you know how many people I've interviewed over the years.
Right.
George Takei wins the award of having the worst breath of any guest that I have ever had.
I can't imagine why.
In an air studio, yeah. Yes, it was penis breath, Buzz. That's what it was.
Mike, you know what I'll do here is I will close out with something that I meant to close out with yesterday because I thought since I'm doing the audio vault that it should be Old Jews Telling Jokes Week.
That's fine. I like, you know, the Old Jews Telling Jokes is one of my favorite segments on the audio vault. I love that.
Well, here is one by a gentleman named Max Weisberg telling a little joke about going to Miami. Here you go, Mike.
Very good. All right. Play it up.
Morris was going to Miami on his vacation, and he goes into the Grand Central Station. He says, "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." He's walking down the track, gets on the train. He says, "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." Sits down. Conductor comes and gets the tickets. He says, "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." Conductor says, "Very nice. Go have your ticket." "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." Uh-huh. "Sir, you're going to have to move your suitcase." "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." "Sir, you have to move your suitcase out of the aisle." "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." "Okay, sir, last chance. Either move it or I'm throwing it off." "I'm going to Miami for my vacation." Takes the suitcase, throws it off the train. "I'm going to Miami for my vacation. That's not my suitcase."
And that, Mike, that is your audio vault. Oscar, could you close it up for me?
Oh, wow.
I love that. Old Jews Telling Jokes. Wonderful stuff. Thank you very much, Mark Roddick. We will come back with Mr. Buzz Burbank and the news on a very special version via telephone of the Mike O'Mara Show right after this. Yes, there's nothing quite like the pure Prairie League as I make my way across the American Legion Bridge. And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the one and only, the legend, Mr. Buzz Burbank and the news. Take it away, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Remember to bookmark MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon for all your shopping. When you think of shopping, think Amazon. And when you think of Amazon, think MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's one of the best ways to support the show. Shop Amazon at MikeO'MaraShow.com. I apologize for my orange camera today. Today, my role will be played by Annoying Orange. Fukushima has nothing to do with nuclear power, by the way. Fukushima is the new Chernobyl. Nuclear safety officials in Japan have raised the crisis level there from 5 to 7 on a scale of 0 to 7. A 7 indicates the release of a massive amount of radiation, which poses a threat to humans and their environment over a wide area. Three Mile Island back in 1979 was a 5. Chernobyl in 1986 was also a 7.
Wow.
That's where we are.
I've heard about this, and while they have raised this level, this scale number that they are using to measure the degree of danger that's involved, they're also saying, top scientists are saying, that while this is a level 7, it is not as dangerous a disaster as Chernobyl. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have heard that same thing, and that is important to point out. It's also important to say that they've not expanded the evacuation area, that really, other than changing the rating number of this thing, this announcement doesn't change anything. Still, we feel obligated to let people know that the number has officially been elevated from a 5 to a 7. Yeah, but I'm hearing the same thing, that it really...
"Going to Miami for my vacation."
It's not your suitcase. Now, some Americans, meanwhile, are calling for an end to all air travel after two planes collided on a runway at New York's Kennedy Airport yesterday. Nobody got hurt, but both planes were damaged when a Delta commuter jet was nearly knocked over by an Air France Airbus. Neither pilot was aware of the other's proximity, so the FAA is talking to passengers to see what they can piece together about the incident. Actually,
I will tell you, I saw this, and I heard it. I read it online first.
Yeah.
And then I saw the video. And, you know, they were talking about they bumped, nobody was hurt, and everything's fine.
Right.
Then you see video of this Airbus, I think, A380.
Right.
Which is a massive jumbo jet.
Right.
Just, I mean, knocked this little commuter jet off to the side like it was a toy.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. Actually, the thing most likely to kill us is what most of us are doing right now. Sitting. A biomedical research team in Louisiana has concluded that people who sit most of the day are 54% more likely to die of a heart attack. The researchers say sitting increases heart attack risk more than smoking, more than stress, and more than a poor diet. Sitting will kill you.
Well, you have less exercise, correct?
That's a lot of it. One day, a public school principal in Chicago. Are you okay, Mike?
I just did a little heart attack joke.
We heard thumping. One day, a public school principal in Chicago saw one of her students open a sack lunch that included a can of soda and some spicy chips. And that's when the principal decided to ban sack lunches. That's right. The kids at Little Village Academy are now prohibited from bringing lunch from home unless they can prove a food allergy. A reporter watched as many students threw away the new healthier food being served from the cafeteria and went without lunch altogether.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe taking a little far.
So you've got, he's banning kids bringing their own stuff in.
Right, exactly. She is. Yes, absolutely. That's correct.
I think that sucks.
Yeah.
You know what? I know that we have childhood obesity record numbers in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that kids overall don't exercise as much as they should.
Right.
And I know that we have to be healthier as a society.
Right.
But isn't part of the fun of being a kid the fact that you can eat whatever the hell you want?
Yes.
It used to be, yeah. I mean, a lot of things have changed over the years, and the problem has gotten worse. It's worse today than it was when we were kids, so maybe the rules should be different. But it does seem to me that we've taken it too far with this.
Memories, you know, I have wonderful food memories of growing up in my little small town.
And me too.
I especially remember, wasn't it always the kids that had the grossest mouths that had the grossest food?
I don't recall that. What are you remembering?
I remember the kids that would always have, like, braces,
would always
inevitably have egg salad sandwiches.
Okay, now I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely.
And you would have to sit there, and they'd wash it down with the proper amount of whole milk, and you'd have to look at that gross, like, green, snot, eggy salad in between their teeth, and it was disgusting to me.
Or the kids who would just chew their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and then just open your mouths and show it to you. In the deal reached.
Do you remember what they used to put down on vomit? Remember that like kitty litter stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
A bunch of sawdust.
I don't know why I'm thinking about that. I'm just thinking about vomit for some strange
memories. In the deal reached Friday night to avoid a government shutdown, there were riders, clauses, including a couple that keep the District of Columbia from spending any of its own tax money on abortion assistance for poor women or clean needle programs for junkies. This is not federal tax money, mind you. This is D.C.'s tax money, which it's being told it cannot spend the way the district wishes. This is known as taxation without representation, and it's the reason we had a real Tea Party back in the day. These provisions were protested at the U.S. Capitol yesterday, and among the 41 people arrested, 6 city council members and D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray.
You know, my radio partner, Mr. McEwen, calls him Dracula, and he does look like some sort of Count Yorga vampire thing out of Romania. I don't know what our mayor, you know, does at night, but I think he jumps into a casket and closes the door. He is a scary, scary vampire-looking dude.
Yeah, and I think this is a lot of spin on my end because his administration right now is under fire with a bunch of questionable and really murky dealings with may or may not be, you know, bad or good guys in D.C. politics. So for them to go get arrested because they're not being represented as a district resident myself is cool. It's nice to see, but it's not going to change anything. Like, really, let's be honest. I don't care how much press you get about this. People have been fighting to get some representation and some rights as a federal city, but it's a federal city. That's what it is.
Yeah, I want to speak on that. I think D.C. officials, regardless of which mayoral administration it's been, have for decades been fighting for representation in Congress for the District of Columbia. These people vote, they pay their taxes, and they should be represented, I think, in Congress and not be bossed around you know, as a federal entity. I think they should be a city and state in their own right. What do you think?
Let me interrupt here. I really think is, you know, get your representation on a federal level when you don't elect some scumbag, corrupt asswipe as your mayor.
I disagree.
And they can't get it right in D.C. They go from one jackass to the next. And every single administration, from Mayor Barry on, they always are riddled with corruption, because they get into power and there are a lot of city projects and they put their cronies in there to make money and they pad their cronies' pockets and it sucks.
As a guy who's
lived
in Chicago, I think there's a great similarity really between DC politics and Chicago politics. And what I'm seeing is politics as usual. And what I suspect here is not a scumbag mayor, but scumbag campaign people who were overzealous, as they often get. And people who got in too deep and went too far, sometimes, oftentimes, perhaps, without the candidate's awareness of it.
All alleged, but the butt stops with the candidate.
You know, it seems to me you get into a situation with the District of Columbia where there's just so much corruption, and I don't know when it's ever going to end. I think everybody thinks we're going to elect that particular mayor who breaks the mold, and it's yet to happen, and it's frustrating. And Oscar, you live in the district. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You get down there as far as social services are concerned, even the metro, anything inside the D.C. line. I mean, you get into the system, and you are in a world of hurt in a very big hurry.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I know that Mayor Barry, when he had such a long tenure in the city, when you want to go you have to do certain social services, like the DMV, and you need something more than just your license. You have to go to Southeast, which is the S-iest place in the city, period. So take your neighborhood and say the worst neighborhood possible. Mayor Barry had some initiatives to bring those state offices or their city offices to his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So as a resident, I have to drive across the city to the other side. And this isn't about that social sucks. Class or anything like that. It's like effing Beirut down there. And I don't feel like because I pay my taxes and because the mayor wanted to, you know, do something special for his ward, I have to drive to Beirut to get new tags for my license because he decided it was a good plan. This is also the same guy. I know it's mayor for life. It's the same guy that smoked crack in the Mayflower Hotel.
Yeah.
All right. He probably didn't make the best decisions for the city.
And it speaks to the lawlessness of D.C. And I mean, as somebody that loves to go into Washington, wants to support the city,
right.
And I don't think this has anything to do with socioeconomic level or race or anything like that. How about, is it so outrageous to request, how about per capita, we have the same number of law enforcement officials as New York City?
Yes.
Not by population, right. But per capita.
Yes.
For each, say, 10 people. But we don't have that either.
And,
it sucks.
And Mike, you know, D.C. and its mayors and the way they go through them, it's similar to our audio vault. You go from one jackass to the next.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Wow.
As usual, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what the subject of the show is, it is all about Mark Ryan.
Be sure and comment on Facebook if you thought he did a good job today. And remember how the governor of Wisconsin went after the unions because he said his state was broke? That is not correct.
Yes.
Says a local economics professor. In fact, several professors in Wisconsin say their state ranks as the fourth healthiest state budget in the U.S. based on its ability to cover pensions. And they say that any state that can afford to give tax breaks to corporations isn't broke. Quoting one professor, Wisconsin is Republican broke, but not broke. And finally, Dateline Manatee County, Florida, police say drugs and alcohol were definitely a factor in the case of the man who headbutted a deputy during his arrest. The man is the Ding Dong Dash dude. Andrew Goethe was busted for going door to door, stark naked, ringing doorbells. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Thank you guys for bearing with me. My sincere apologies. for my voice and for this telephone. I look forward to joining you all tomorrow.
Yay.
And our show today was brought to you by Hoobo.
CB Lucas, AC and Heating. CB Lucas made this living room studio cozy and comfortable year-round. Mention this ad and get your AC tuned up for summer for just $69. And if you need a new high-efficiency system, call them for a free in-home estimate. Get 36 months, same as cash financing, or rebates up to $1,200 on new Trane systems. For the best care, call 1-800-AIR-REPAIR for CB Lucas AC and Heating, or click their ad on our website.
That's it. We got to get out of here. A brand new show tomorrow. Want to thank everybody and look forward to joining you back in studio for tomorrow's broadcast. For Oscar Santana, Buzz Burbank, Mark Ronick, RJ Diaz, and the 2010 Dodge Challenger. This is Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.